Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil, envy, and we hated each other. But when our God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and His love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. You know, words matter, don't they? Especially when it comes to such tender topics, controversial topics like homosexuality in our day and age. Today, we talk about how the church has responded to this issue. Unfortunately, we as the church, we've responded poorly. That's an understatement. But how do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile the past? Well, here's another question. How do we move forward with the grace and the truth that Jesus Christ has so freely given to us? On today's podcast, we'll discuss three things. Number one, how we're all on the same playing field when it comes to sexual sin and brokenness. Number two, how the church casts a false identity on our friends that struggle with same-sex attraction and homosexuality. And number three, why this discussion? It's not a new discussion at all. It's the same as the early church with the Romans and the Greeks. How does this mirror what we're facing now? Today's show is titled, "Those Homosexuals." So what happens, Peter, when we move from the church being silent about this, but when the church does speak? Because words, as you know, words matter. And when the church speaks, you know, I've heard things like this a lot. I hear Christians say, "Those people, or those homosexuals, or those gays." How is that not helpful?
Yeah, that sends a very, very dangerous message. Because to the person experiencing, you know, whatever it is, gender dysphoria or SSA, sitting in the seat with the and church, hearing this, those people out there, and often that's said in a political context. It sends a message that, you know, the gospel is only for these people, not those people, and I'm one of those people. And that's heresy, you know, because the gospel is for sinners, and we are all sinners. And when we trust Christ, repent of our sin, and believe in Jesus, then we are all in Christ. And that's why Paul could be so optimistic in 1 Corinthians when he said, "This is, you used to be this, and you are this," and he lists sins like homosexuality as, we're no different. We're all sexually broken. We're all redeemed in Christ, and He is transforming us. So that "we" is really important because it unites us in Jesus. It communicates our true identity, that our lives are hidden with Christ. We are one in Him. We are broken and now redeemed. And that gives tons of hope. I could tell story after story after story of genuine, you know, of excitement and hope that comes to a struggler when they realize, oh yeah, our specific struggle may vary, but the God who designed me for himself has grace to help in time of need.
Peter, you used the word identity, and that's, as you were speaking, that's what I wrote down. I wrote the word down identity because if we go from the words those people to we people, don't we just cast a false identity on them? For example, like to be, their identity is not to be associated with their sin. So for example, before I met Christ, Peter, I was addicted to pornography. I was an adulterer. I don't want to live out of that identity. It's not like, hi, you know, I'm Dustin, I'm a porn addict. No. I'm Dustin, I'm a child of God. And what I hear you saying, Peter, that when we say those people or those homosexuals or those whoever, that we're casting a false identity on them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been dying to, like when I talk about this now, I focus completely on the identity question because I think what our culture has done is it's communicated this massive worldview shift, you know, essentially saying three things: that we have no enduring identity, like we are as human beings, because they would reject the fact that we're made in the image of God. Therefore, we're just a compilation of chemicals. We really don't have an enduring identity. Therefore, we have to figure out our own identity and embrace it. And that's why you see so much the emphasis on trans, because we are transitioning, all of us, according to our culture, into what we've decided to be, whatever that is. And in many cases, it's quite plastic and changing all the time. And then the third big point they're saying is that anyone who questions, you know, my self-identification must be motivated by hate. So once, like, those messages are being pummeled, our teams especially are being pummeled by those three big messages, and they come in a variety of forms. Typically, they're not said that directly, but that we have no enduring identity, we must figure out and embrace our discovered identity, and anyone who questions our identity is a hater. And that is a completely different and tragic view of people than the Christian identity, where we are made in the image of God, male and female, broken by sin, redeemed in Christ to who and what God originally designed us to be. Those are two vastly different competing worldviews, and that's everything. It's who are we?
As you were speaking, I just started thinking, well, how can we engage inside this messiness and have this conversation when people really do see themselves with their sexual identity as being the most important thing? You know, the Apostle Paul tells us that people who are unbelievers, they don't understand God's word. They don't understand these truths. And what I have seen is that a lot of Christians try to use the word of God on people and for people with a good heart to try to make an argument or convince them. But the Apostle Paul's clear that they can't hear that kind of thing. So how do we engage that conversation, especially with such hostility from the culture? How can we do that with grace and truth without pulling the Bible out and quoting chapter and verse?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's not a new question, because the early Christians faced the same thing. Mm-hmm. The Roman and Greek view of people and sexuality mirrors where our culture is heading. So the early Christians had to have a strong sense of who they were in Christ. And when Paul, for example, sent Titus to the island of Crete, which was dominated by homosexuality. And he said in chapter 3 to make sure, Titus, make sure you show perfect courtesy toward all people. And these are people who diametrically are opposed to your view of marriage and sexuality. So how do you do that? And he goes on to explain, you remember who you were, that we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, and goes on. But the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared and saved us. So Paul is saying that we are constantly going back to the fact, as you just said a minute ago, like apart from the grace of God, I too am swept away by this sinfulness, sexual brokenness, false identification, the deception, slaves, and foolish. So there's an active and a passive aspect to our brokenness. So if I have been rescued from that, how can I then turn to others who are still bound in that and look down on them at all, speak unkindly to them, have any kind of self-righteousness? You know, the gospel wipes all of that out. And so that heart of humility and love without compromise characterizes Christ's church. And therefore, we can befriend those who disagree with us. We can absorb their attacks while still remaining firm in what we believe and speaking clearly, find creative ways to communicate a very old message in a very new way without compromise. And those are a few of the things that I believe pastors need to help their people wrestle with. How do we do this? And it's not a new thing.
So how do we communicate an ancient message in a very new way? How do we express God's design for sex, marriage, and the family to our unbelieving family and our friends? How do we do this with grace and truth when there's so much hostility around the topic itself? Well, my encouragement is to spend time with the Lord, to pray through this by reading Scripture. Do you believe what God says about sex? I mean, do you really believe that? Why or why not? What questions are you right now uncomfortable trying to answer? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all Scripture is breathed out, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Well, tomorrow we'll continue this conversation with pastor and author Peter Hubbard. We're talking about his new book, Love into Light, The Gospel, the Homosexual, and the Church. We'll be discussing why we don't like the S-I-N word. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And you can email me questions. You have a comment on today's show, I would love to hear about it. Go to dustindaniels.org. You can also rate this show. And if this is something that you feel like your pastor, your minister, your priest, or a friend needs to hear, go ahead and share this episode. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. Ah, pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.